When you were playing here at Gloucester, did you have very much to do with the committee of the day?
Only to get their my monies off them and to be remonstrated for how can I put it, behaviour that is not conducive to a Gloucester player, particularly by the Reverend Hughes. I don't think I was his complete cup of tea, to be quite honest. I was accused of leading the blokes astray, I think. After the game. Yeah.
Outrageous.
Yeah, but in those days...
I was told he would agree to sing the rugby songs on the coach.
Well...
Until they passed the back into the diocesan boundary.
Exactly. He said we were coming back from, I think it was Newport or somewhere, and I remember I'd led the singing with probably the most vulgar tunes of the day, put it that way, and everybody had a good laugh, and I can remember getting off here, and he said, well... we'd lost, and he said the club had a the club had a good hiding today, but not half a hiding as the church has received on its way home. So that was that. I remember we played Old Merchant Taylors, who weren't the biggest of opponents, obviously, on Boxing Day, and I remember we'd had rather a heavy Christmas day, and I threw up as I was running out. So I was all over the coals about that as well. That was not conducive to a Gloucester rugby player throwing up as he's running on the pitch. So there were moments. And on the tour, I was held to be the ringleader of quite a few instances that didn't meet with the hierarchy's blessing. Although I did have a great mate in Digger Morris, the great Digger. He loved every minute of it. And would have goaded me on to...
Join in with him on the pick song, did you?
Yes, we had all that, and they were great days, great days.
I've been reading some of the committee minutes back from that period where Digger was pleading to be allowed to still go on the tour at the end of the season.
Well, he was like a big kid, and he had that big, moon grin, as you could say, but... What a character, and the opposition loved him. And it was.
Seems to have been a really good partnership on the field with John O'Bear.
Well, yeah, I mean, John O'Bear went on and played with the British Lions, didn't he, really? Mm. And Digger was the enforcer, I think you might say, wasn't he? And in his day, obviously, I never saw him play, but he fitted the part. He had that sort of face, didn't he, really, that only a mother could love. With like three teeth in the front, and there used to be a club along here. I was trying to think what it was called, just by the railway bridge, and sort of you'd be here till 10 o'clock, and then you'd stagger along there and knock on the door and ask for a Digger, and that was the way you got in, sort of business. When you got in there, Christ, mate, talk about a den of iniquity from all sorts. And so you come out at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, having been in Digger's den. But there were some nice people, as Bertie Bolgin, as I said, was a character sort of thing. Who else was
there? There's Doug Wadley, I guess.
Doug Wadley, yeah. Well, Doug was treasury, wasn't he, with his poor old legs. But he was a character, Doug.
We've got a lot to thank him for in terms of
stability,
stuff being kept.
Is it? Yeah.
He preserved old records and so on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess Arnold Alcock was still around as
well. Well, Doc Alcock, yeah. He was the figurehead, but never. And again, the Reverend, I wouldn't say we clashed, but we were not. I was not his bosom mate, put it that way. And. I think held to be the instigator on a lot of things that weren't to his liking, put it that way. But
were his suspicions correct?
Yeah.
Were you the right? Just thought we ought to get that down for the record.
I think let's put it this way: Colonel Whitbread, along with certain young ladies, probably the reason of my demise.
What a way to go.
Yes, but it was all in fun, a lot of people used to say to me, if you'd have, you could have gone a bit further, but then again, when you analyse it,
You were determined to enjoy it.
Oh.
How did your career end with Gloucester?
With Dom Rutherford. He came. So I realised he was the current England fullback at the time.
Yes,
so, whilst, you know, they were very polite and said to me, "Ah, well, he won't be playing every game." Stroud then, who'd been a little bit disappointed that I'd left him in the very beginning, but made overtures, and I thought, well, I might just as well go back there. And it was nice that I was still able to play against the Gloucester boys on occasions, and play in Stroud teams that defeated Gloucester with Dom Rutherford playing. And we got on extremely well. You know, he was just down the road.
So really the person who ended your Gloucester career was Dom Rutherford's father-in-law.
Yeah,
because he married the local girl.
That's right.
He insisted that he wasn't going to marry her unless he played for Gloucester.
That's right. That's right. She came from Barclay, didn't she? Was she?
He was the manager at Sharpness Docks.
Sharpness Docks. Yeah. Well, I know she taught at Stroud High School, wasn't it? This was the thing as well. She was the PE mistress then. So yes, that was that finished the career here. But fortunately. I still managed to get a few games county-wise thereafter. You know, obviously, with Dan being the current fullback, they picked him for a choice, but still got a few bits and pieces to carry on.
So what were your particular party pieces in the after-match entertainment, Russ?
Singing all the bawdiest songs that you could imagine, Chasing the Girls in particular, and consuming vast quantities of booze, I suppose. They were heady days when they really, and you were young and you could manage it then. You'd still wake up on Sunday morning and still go off and, you know, on another great crack, but you try it these days and Christ, it's not the same, but... And of course, I had lots of supporters. You can imagine the Gloucester boys weren't slow in coming forward, and we used to have a little gang. And the Whiskey A Go Go Club in Cardiff used to be a great venue for all the Welsh games coming on, particularly, well, most of them we went by train anyhow. So, and of course, you missed the last train home. So it used to be the 8 o'clock mail train in the morning, and. I think a few relationships have been severed and girlfriends have been lost and over the fact that that bloody idiot has kept them down in that poxy cavern again down there. So. But they enjoyed it while they were there, put it that way. So, we did have some fun. And likewise up in London, you know... there were some pubs up there that had sort of shows on that you wouldn't get up here, put it that way. So they used to take them down there and we'd catch the last train on from there, which, how can I put it? I knew a lot of places that they'd never ever been to. And rather than going around the local pub, it was a bit of an eye-opener in many respects. No, it was good fun. It was a delightful period, which I treasure very much, because they were a big club, and it was very well received, you know, by all and sundry. And it's lovely to see, see some of the old playing mates now. Really, as I said to Malcolm earlier on, I don't come down here that often now because I just feel it wasn't my era. It was truly a Gloucester club filled with Gloucester people, played by Gloucester people. As I said, I wasn't a Gloucester man, but from an outsider, once you earned your keep, you were welcomed aboard. Now, modern day era, it's not Leicester, it's not Newport, it's not Newcastle, it's, you know, it's teams playing under the name, under those names, but with mammoth players, you know, and a cross section.